Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode here on God's Word to Man. I am your host for tonight, Brother Kevin Bruce. And as always, I am excited about God's Word to Man. And on tonight's broadcast, I'm going to be discussing a topic that I believe, you know, all of God's Word is very important and it's very beneficial to the body of Christ. And that's why he gives us his word, you know, to correct us, to reprove us, and to instruct us in a way of righteousness, away from harm, away from hurt, and most importantly, away from an adversary that does not want us to receive everything that God has for us. Amen. So, you know, praise be to God that he equips us. But what we do with that equipment is our responsibility. And oftentimes I know we want to take everything to God. And most of the times when we don't get the proper response, you know, we tend to look at God and give him the side eye regarding certain things. But the Bible is still the inspired word of God. The word of God is powerful. It's quick. It's powerful. It is alive. It is living. It is ready for a command. And God has given us that weapon. As I said, he has given us that equipment so that we would be instructed, so that we would have life and live this life more abundantly. Amen. So, as I said, praise be to God that he equips us, he makes us ready, and we have to utilize those weapons, the weapon of the Word of God that he has given us. The Bible says, near you. It's in your mouth, and it can be released today. And I think oftentimes we need that reminder. We need the reminder that God has equipped us, God has made us ready, and most importantly, the body of Christ has to understand that we need each other. This is why the enemy wants to throw in divisions. He wants to throw in bitterness, unforgiveness, and all of these things, because he knows that the unity of the body of Christ is going to bring strength that is going to destroy his kingdom. Amen. So, but before I go into tonight's lesson, I want to pray. First of all, I want to give our information again. This is God's Word to Man. I'm your host for tonight, Brother Kevin Bruce. And later on in the show, I'm going to be opening up the phone lines. If you have a desire to call in with any question or comment, you may do so at 323-870-3403. Amen. You may call in with any question or comment pertaining to tonight's topic. Amen. But in saying that, I want to pray that God, by his Spirit, would lead us and guide us into all truths, and that the seed of the word would oscillate and resonate within you, and that it will grow thereby, and that you will cultivate that through continuously meditating and studying God's word every day, that you will come into the fullness of the stature of who it is that God has called us to be and created us to be. Yes, no mountains could stand in your way. No mountain can stand in your way. No Goliath, no problem to stand in the way of the greatness, the ability, the seed of the kingdom that God has placed on the inside of you. Amen. So in saying that, let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for another day. We thank you, Lord, for all the unseen danger that you have given your angels charge over us to keep us from. We thank you for situations, Lord, that you blocked that we wanted to go into. We thank you for people that you took out of our lives, people that you have placed into our lives, Lord. And today, Lord, we ask that by that same Spirit, Lord, that you will guide us, that you will lead us. Lord, you are our sustainer. Lord, it's because of you that we live, we move, we have our being. And Lord, even those things, those dark areas, Lord, that so many of your people are struggling with, those strongholds that people are struggling with, Lord, we declare freedom to them today as we begin, Lord, to journey into freedom through your word and through the power of your word, Lord, that men will be set free and be set free indeed. In this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want to look at a scripture starting off, I believe it is Mark. Mark, the 15th chapter of the book of Mark. Amen. And I'm going to start at verse 14. 14 of Mark. Just waiting for it to pull up here on my. Okay. Let's actually start at verse 13. And forthwith Jesus came, gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Verse 14. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Verse 15. And they came to Jesus and see him and see him that was possessed with a devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Now, earlier in this passage, there was a man that was who lived in the tomb. Jesus was passing through, and he came to this place, and there was a man that was who had an unclean spirit that was living in the tombs, and he was bound there. It said, but he wasn't bound with chains. And people were afraid of this man because he had supernatural strength, and they were afraid to, you know, approach him. But something that, you know, stuck out to me was in verse 5, where it says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And this is where I want to pick this up at. Over the last few years, we've been hearing something in our society, a term that has been thrown out called mental health issues. And we have experienced tragedies in our countries where, you know, people have gone on shooting rampages, and most of them have been associated with mental health issues regarding the mind. Amen. Issues regarding the mind, mental health issues. And I think when we talk about this, no one clearly has a clear solution as to why certain things are happening in our society. Amen. But I think this particular passage of Scripture kind of gives us a picture of what's happening. We see so many people in our society that are about to go off on the deep end. They can't cope with life. They can't deal with the stress that they've been given. And so what is happening in our society? What is happening? What is going on with people that they all of a sudden lose it, and then you go on a shooting rampage and kill a number of people just because you couldn't cope? Well, I want to talk about why these things are happening. I believe what is the main culprit behind it and what is the driving force. You know, you could only go as far as your level of thinking. And, you know, the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I think we're living in a society that doesn't have a clear identity of what it is and who they are. And this is driving people to pick up another influence. And we have to realize as Christians that there are two kingdoms that are fighting each other, that are clashing with each other. And this controversy is going on over a belief system. Now, we believe in our hearts, but this particular belief, these particular belief systems, it could tend to have you to vacillate over what is what and how am I supposed to live my life? Which direction am I to go? Who am I? And a lot of God's order has been disrupted by the enemy to come in and taint and give us a different picture about who we are, not just as Christians, but in our society as a whole. The order of God has been tampered with, and therefore, this is why we have some of the things that we have going on. But I can tell you who is behind it all. Now, the deliverance that this man received, we see this in Mark the 5th chapter. It says that, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice and saying, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Verse 8, "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Come out of the man. We are going to psychologists, and I'm not saying on some level they don't help. I'm not knocking doctors and psychologists and you know, people that study the mind. I'm not saying on some level, but your true deliverance is the same way that this man received his deliverance. And when the people saw him, they saw a picture of what should be. You know, the Bible says that for God has not given us the spirit of fear. How many of us are operating in the spirit of fear every day? We're worried about how we're going to make it, how we're going to put food on the table, what's going to happen next week, when the Bible tells us to take no thought of these things. And it's hard to reel in your mind. You know, Paul said it best. He said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, mental assaults, and bringing them into the obedience of God." He also talked about our battle in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places." Principality is a rule, is a mindset that comes to rule over a group or a mass of people. That's what a principality is. And so therefore, we are experiencing some things in our society because of this spiritual force that is behind it. Now, tonight I wouldn't be able to get into every aspect of how these mental issues are, how they are coming about. But as I said, I can tell you who is definitely behind it. Many of us are experiencing what is called a double mind. We can't separate feelings, facts, issues, and when you are void of God's word, and many God-loving Christians that attend services every week, twice a week, that love God are struggling, and they're struggling silently, like this man was isolated, and he was cutting himself. And many people that have placed a smile on their face are dealing with mental health issues because we have only given mental health a particular look or category. But there's a true definition of mental health, mental stability. And the enemy wants to come to debilitate your mental health. And God has given us a picture. You know, the Bible tells us, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are good. How would I know what is true? This man, when they saw him, he was clothed in his right mind again. So therefore, something or the influence, some influence was giving him the wrong mind. So in order to know and to combat these issues, we have to get a clear picture of what truth is. There must be a right way. The Bible says that he was clothed in his right mind. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of good report, if they have any virtue in it, think upon these things. We live in a society where everything is rushed. There's anxiety behind everything, so we're making these decisions. And the enemy is influencing us on every hand, on every side. But I want to look at this word, and this word is double-minded. Double-minded. It comes from the Greek word dipsohas. Dipsohas, which means to be, to have a divided mind, a divided interest. And as I said, we, the church, have been given a great assignment as the salt of the earth. When the world sees us, they're supposed to see a picture of what good mental health is. They're supposed to see a picture of us and the witness of Christ in our lives. They're supposed to see the culture of God's kingdom in us. For the kingdom of God, peace, righteousness, joy, peace, righteousness in the Holy Ghost. I can't have peace in my life if I'm vacillating. So I have to begin to check my alignment. I don't know. I have to begin to check my belief system. I don't know if I should trust God for this, or I don't know if I. We should have people in our corner and people in our lives that are telling us, you trust God. And not the world system. not the way that they do it, because we are the example. We are supposed to be the light. But it seems that we are struggling, and the enemy has sent out an assault to attack the church because he knows what God intended them to be from the beginning. Amen? So this word, dipsohos, means to have a divided mind or a divided interest. Means to be split. Two souls. What is the soul? The soul, by definition, is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It actually comes out of the word psuche, which psychology, which means the study of the mind. So the enemy is after your mind. He's after the minds of people to influence them in such a way. And we in the church have been under the same influence and don't understand that it is demonic oppression. Anything that comes to irritate, that comes to frustrate, that comes to annoy, that comes to antagonize, that comes to torment, that comes to confuse, is a spirit called oppression that the enemy uses to stop you and block you. Why? Because now if I'm unstable, I have an inability to make a sound decision, which is not of God. And this is why he wants my mind to be sound. And this is why it is important to deal with strongholds, because they make you vulnerable. And when you become vulnerable, you make bad decisions. This is why our decisions in our lives should be led in peace. And you know, when we don't meditate on God's word. This is why it is so important. When we don't meditate on God's word, our minds give us a picture. Your thought life is very vital. It's very important. And this is why you have to gain control of your mind, and you have to shape it by God's word. You have to shape it by God's word. So it says, double-minded, divided into split between two souls, your mind, your will, and your emotion. This is the area that the enemy comes in to play on. He knows your history. He knows your background. He knows the things that you dealt with, and he takes those things and he uses those things against you to make you an enemy of God. And we begin to blame God, and we begin to look at God when things aren't working. And when things aren't going the way or accordingly, you prayed and you prayed and you prayed, and still no response. Still no solution. So the enemy begins to cause you to vacillate. And where does it all start? Where does it all start? It starts in the mind. It is a central place. He's trying to influence the mind away from God. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. I love this passage of scripture where it talks about, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to God, to the pulling down of these strongholds or these negative thoughts against God, taking them captive, taking those thoughts captive. When we vacillate, going back and forth over God, how many of us understand that this is a demonic influence that is trying to influence and affect us? And many of us are affected by this daily. And because we don't recognize it, and because we don't know what to call it, we put up no resistance. But your greatest defense is what is stated here. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of every stronghold, every high thing that comes to exalt itself, every other word, every other voice. You know, I ask people, I say, do you hear voices? They're like, no, what are you talking about? I don't hear or hear voices. I said, well, people think that you're crazy if you hear voices. But I hear voices all the time. I hear the enemy's voice that's trying to usurp his influence over my life away from God. And I hear God's voice that is telling me to deal with him. Because if you don't understand what you have, you won't use what you have. And this is the picture that the enemy wants to give you, that you're useless, you're worthless, God doesn't love you, God doesn't care about you. And once you get a picture of truth and you daily ingest God's word, and what, you know, it is important to understand that what you feed on, it actually feeds you. I can feast on the negative things that the enemy brings to my mind and brings to my life. And my life will begin to become shaped by those things that I'm taking in on a daily basis. Amen. Another word that I want to look at is the word schizophrenia. Now, by definition, if you look at this word, many believers in the body of Christ are dealing with this. And I know we want to be so holy that we will, I don't receive that. Well, I'm not trying to curse anyone. But there are some issues that we have to deal with if we want to get past and we want to see the kingdom of God begin to work in our lives. Amen. So this word schizophrenia, as I say, you know, medically, we want to place these terms on certain people. If you have to have a straight jacket on. You have to be confined to some type of health institute with armed guards at the door and people that are walking around with needles. If you get out of hand at any minute, they have something to calm you down. But the Bible gives us another picture of what this is and how it is to be dealt with. You know, the Bible calls us children of light. He calls us children of light. And I think it is time that we start to recognize and to walk in the authority, the kingdom authority that God has given us as children of light. You know, I just want to say this because God is really impressing on me. Someone is listening to this broadcast and someone is going to hear this broadcast. And God is saying to you that in this season of your life, you opening your mouth and releasing an authority is going to clear the way. It's going to clear your path. You're waiting on a great day. You're waiting on a great time. You're waiting for God to swing by here. But God is saying that your deliverance is in you opening your mouth, releasing his word, releasing his truth. It doesn't matter the evil that you're facing. He said that you can speak to this mountain and say to the mountain, be thou removed. You can lay your hands on yourself and you can speak every cell, every hormone, and every organ in your body back into divine alignment the way that he intended it to be. Amen. So God doesn't want us to be weak. God doesn't want us to be weak-minded. But he wants us to have a clear identity of who we are. And we have an enemy that is fighting against us because he does not want, he will keep any and everything on your mind. Your identity about yourself, your identity about God, your identity about people, your attitude about people, your attitude about God, your attitude about yourself. One day you're up, one day you're down. One minute you're up, one minute you believe God, and in the same breath you don't. And your mind is a conduit of what you begin to speak and how you begin to act and how you begin to view yourself. So we have to understand God's way. But I want to look at this word, schizophrenia. And it is medically termed as a disorder. A disorder that affects, and I can just go this far, a disorder that affects a person's ability to do what? To think, feel, and behave. It's called mental fragmentation. A disorder. Now, many of us are dealing with spiritual schizophrenia. No, we don't have on a straight jacket, but you are chained in your life. And many of us are afraid or scared to admit, oh, that ain't you, he's not talking about me. And you go home at night and cry yourself to sleep. And you wake up in the daytime and you are scared to face the day because of the uncertainty. This is an attack of the enemy. And you have to fight. You have to fight for your mind. You have to fight as this man to have the right mind, to be clothed in your right mind, to have a sound mind and a picture of who God sees you and how God sees you. Many of us are struggling with this on a daily basis. What is my defense against this? We're going to do this as a series, and it's going to lead to something that God has told me to revisit, and he gave me this title, Strongholds 2.0, because we're going to go deeper now. And I had for a few years been dealing with strongholds in my life. Yes, I can, this homosexual gender, they come out of the closet. They come out. Yes, I'm coming out. And many of God's people need to come out from hiding, as this man did in the cave, cutting himself, abusing himself, having this picture of themselves that they don't measure up, having these strongholds, these issues that come to give you an identity and tell you this is who you are and this is who you are always going to be outside of the identity and the way that God sees you. And when we deal with this, when we face it, first you have to recognize it and admit it. And I'm telling you, it doesn't happen overnight. It does not happen overnight. You cannot change your mind and the picture that's in your mind overnight. It is a journey into the freedom that God desires for you to have. So you have to do this day by day. You have to do what Joshua said, Joshua 7:1-8. You have to be courageous every day. Every day. But you have to meditate on God's word. It's Haggah. means to chew it over and over and over and ingest it over and over and over until you see nothing else. This is what is taught. This is what he's talking about in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. And I've been saying this for the last couple of years because this is the only thing that God has had me on, because I dealt with these things in my own life. And guess what? I'm still on that journey. But as they say, I may not be what I used to be, or I may not be what I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Amen. And that to the glory of God. If I boast, I'm boasting in the Lord that the power of God is here to set you free. It's not a plaything. It's not a myth. The power of God is real. The blood of Jesus is real. It has power. Paul said this, and I want to say this before I close. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power, the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." What does that mean? Well, we all know that the gospel means good news. We say, for it is the power of God. Power is the ability to affect change. Power of God unto salvation. Salvation, that word comes from the word sozo, which means all encompassing. It doesn't just mean that we're going to be in the sweet by and by one day. And this is where we're going to receive all the blessings, all the peace. God wants us to experience that here and now. And we got an enemy that doesn't. As I said, many of us are struggling. But the sozo of God, the salvation, the saving power of God, which is all-encompassing. He doesn't just want to provide for you, but then you have no peace of mind. It's sozo. It's all-encompassing. He doesn't just want to give you a big house on the hill, but then you're sick in your body. Amen? God wants you to have it all, because there's an enemy out there that doesn't want you to. Amen and amen. But I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you as I close this broadcast. And I want to pray over your needs. I want to pray as God is giving me the prayer. Because there's so many people out there that are in the body of Christ. They are ashamed. Paul said, "Well, I'm not ashamed." They are ashamed to come forth and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm struggling with this. I'm dealing with this. And I need help." Because guess what? The strongholds there is a fortified place. That if we confess, if we break our pride, see, the stronghold is that wall of pride that is built up. That guess what? If you don't ask, and those are the places that we don't even allow God into. Oh, I'm just going to cover this up. I don't even want God to know. I don't want him to know about this. And guess what? He can't come in and heal you without permission. Yeah, God can't do things without permission. We'll talk about that another time. But without your permission, which is called your will, he will not usurp or force his will upon you. Amen. So we have to open up, and we have to be real with God. And we have to walk in what it is that God desires for us to have in our lives. Walk in. It belongs to you. It is called sozo. It is called salvation, the real salvation. Not just Jesus dying on the cross, and one day we're going to be with him forever and ever, and we're going to just sing sweet songs to the King. No. He desired for you to tread upon. And this is why he told the Father. He said in John the 17th chapter, he said, "Father, do not take them out of the world, He said, don't take them out of the world. He said, but give them what it is that they need there so they can live. And this is why he says for us to pray that heaven, to pray that heaven comes to earth. He wants you to experience that here. God didn't put us here to get beat down. And you have to understand that. And you have to convince yourself of that. The same way the enemy is convincing you of something else. The same way he's convinced you and giving you an identity. Mental health issues is plaguing our society. And the enemy is getting in any way that he can. We're going to talk about a host of things and why and how and what was done and what can be done as we continue in the series, this upcoming series, Strongholds 2.0. And I believe that your life is going to be blessed beyond measure because that's what God desires for your life. I want you to say that God desires for my life to be blessed beyond measure. Beyond measure. He didn't put you here to be a pauper. You don't have to beg for bread. He said, as long as you are in alignment with him, never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed beg bread. I don't have to beg God for what already belongs to me. It is my inheritance. Tell yourself that. And stop letting the enemy's influence and lies control and manipulate your way of thinking and who you are and whose you are. Amen. Amen. So with that being said, I want to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your love that is going out abroad, Lord, and how you have forgiven us when we have been unforgivable. Lord, how you have protected us when we didn't deserve it, how you have blessed us when we didn't deserve it. And Lord, we know that you only have our best interests at heart. But Lord, as today, Lord, we ask that you would give us a new mind. That as you said in your word, that we will be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And that we will take a new mind, your mind. You said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. So today, Lord, we start our journey into freedom, into the freedom that you desire for our lives, Lord. And not only that, when we are free, you said, to whom we have freely received, to freely give, Lord, that we will reach back and set others free that have been bound by the snares of the enemy and the devices that he has used to control and manipulate us, even away from you. Father, we ask that you would give us a new picture today of who we are and who we are in you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. If you believe that prayer, you get up and begin to walk and to meditate on God's word day and night. And the transforming power, as he said in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2. Being ye transformed by renewing your mind daily. Get a picture of who God desires for you to be. Call someone in the body of Christ. Say, hey, come into agreement with me regarding God's word, regarding this issue of my life. Stop letting pride speak for you. Stop letting pride stand in your way of the blessings and the deliverances that God wants to place in your life, the miracles that God wants to perform. I believe 100% in miracles. I believe 100% in the supernatural. Pray one for another. Uphold one another. We don't have to compete with one another. We don't have to tear one another down. That's not the desire of God. That's the desire of the enemy. Let us uphold one another. As we go forth, pray one for another. Uphold one another. Lift each other up in Jesus' name. Well, I pray that this broadcast has been a blessing and a benefit to you. Continue to tune in to us. We are broadcasting nightly, every day, for your listening pleasure. And until next time, may the Lord be with you. May his face shine upon you. In Jesus' name.